Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Good evening. Welcome to 49ers After Dark. We're your hosts, Grant Cohn, Jesse Naylor. Schedule isn't even out yet, and we know how many games the Niners are going to win this year, which ones are going to win, and in what order. That's what we bring to the table. Jesse, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Grant. How are you, brother?
I'm batting 1,000. Every single time I get up to get a hit. Every single time. Now I'm bunting, but I'm beating it out.
That's actually really impressive. Wow. Like, you're like the greatest of all time.
You found some interesting stats about Brock Purdy. I don't know where you find these stats, but they're extremely interesting. Josh Dubow found an interesting stat about Kyle Shanahan. First, which players have the most to prove this year?
Oh, man. We'll go one for one. I have two that really have the most to prove, in my opinion. They're both near the same position, which is interesting. But for me, the first player I'm going to go with is Nick Bosa. Nick Bosa is coming off of a year in which he got paid a ton of money and had a down year by his standards. He didn't take over games the way that he had in the past. I think there were times in the playoffs where he was almost non-existent. But he talked about how he coming in late into training camp really hurt him a lot more than probably I think even he expected, and certainly more than what the team expected, I would imagine. But Bosa getting paid quarterback money, essentially, he has to find a way to be way, way more productive. And I expect that he will. I mean, we're talking about a player who, just in the grand scheme of things, probably doesn't have a lot to prove as far as is he a good player or not. But when you're getting paid that kind of money, you can't just be like good. You have to be great. And that's where he was. That's the reason he got paid. He was easily one of the top three pass rushers in the NFL. That was not the case this last year. And he has to get back to that. So he has to stay healthy again. And he has to be elite and dominant again. So I'll go with Nick Bosa, number one.
That's a great call. Number one guy on defense for sure. He had a quiet season by his standards, and it was bad timing considering he just got paid like this enormous freaking contract. All right, on offense, maybe it's too obvious, but I think it's Brock Purdy. He hasn't gotten paid yet, but he's about to next year, assuming all goes well. But I think expectations are that he's going to take a step forward this year. He's going to be a little bit better this year. Maybe he's going to win the Super Bowl this year. He's going to really solidify the fact that he's worth $50 to $60 million a year. That's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of pressure. I mean, every practice, every game, everything he does is going to be scrutinized in ways that he hasn't been scrutinized yet, because those dollar signs are going to be attached to everything he does. Is he really worth it? Is he really worth it? And as the more he plays, the more stats are out there, the more evidence people will have to say yes or no. It'll be interesting.
That is an interesting one. I didn't have him on my list, but you make a very, very good point. I have another one. Javon Hargrave. He was the big get in free agency just a year ago. And it's interesting because when he was signed, he was like number one, like the number one free agent signed in the offseason by a lot of people. But it just a year later, when people came out with their most overblown rankings of the players that were signed in the offseason before, he was also number one, which is wasn't good. You went from being the best signing to essentially the most overpaid worst signing all in one season, which means he didn't have a great season. He had times where he looked really good, but he was almost non-existent in the run defense for a big chunk of the season. And then there were also times where he just wasn't getting after the quarterback either. He was just another guy out there. So for a guy, again, to get paid that kind of money. Now, it was his first year in the system. Maybe his expectations or, you know, things that were expected of him from the team were a little bit different than what he was used to. So I'll give him the year of grace. But if this defensive line is going to at least maintain what they were and possibly take a step forward without Arik Armstead and all the changes that they have as far as the depth pieces on that line, Bosa and Hargrave have to take big steps forward this year. And if they don't, then really the staple of this team and this defense, it's not something you can rely on. So these guys have to step up.
It's a great call. I got another one.
Okay.
Leonard Floyd.
Oh, okay.
Leonard Floyd was their big addition for this year. Leonard Floyd is supposed to be their best edge rusher opposite Bosa since Dee Ford. Leonard Floyd is supposed to be way better than Chase Young, who is in his mid-20s. And I think he probably is. But he's going to be 32 this year. And if he falls off this year, the Niners could be making another trade deadline move for a pass rusher.
Oh, that's a good point. I just thought of another one as we were going. Talanoa Funga.
I was thinking of that as I said it.
Yep. Yeah. Talanoa Funga coming off of a major injury, had an all-pro year, also in a contract year. They just drafted your potential replacement. What are you going to do this season to prove that you deserve to get a big payday and possibly stay on this team and not just stay on this team, but be a starter on this team from game one to game 17. I'm curious to see how he bounces back as well.
That's true. I mean, he was an all-pro 2 years ago. He got hurt last year. If he can bounce back and have another season that was similar to the one he had in 2022, he's going to get so much money. Maybe not from the Niners, although they might be kind of foolish to let him go if he is truly that kind of a playmaker. Okay, that's a good one. Colton Kivitz.
Oh.
They didn't draft a right tackle. They gave him an extension. They didn't draft a right tackle, and they're putting him in commercials with Brock Purdy. Like, you got to step up, baby. And I know you didn't ruin the season last year. It wasn't directly your fault that the Niners didn't win the Super Bowl, but not good in pass protection. I don't know. Is he a good run blocker? Is he a good run blocker?
I don't know, man. I feel like they've just played so
on the right side. It feels like it's a struggle for Christian McCaffrey on that side.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a stat that we could find since I'm digging through only stats.
I had the number. Only three runs of over 20 yards to the right side in 2024, as opposed to
really
eight on the left side and three that went for more than 50 on the left side. So,
whoa.
I mean, they were efficient both ways because Christian McCaffrey's amazing, but the big plays aren't coming on the right side, which just seems crazy. If you have Trent Williams on the left, you should be able to gouge people with reverses and counters and all kinds of misdirections to the right, which they used to do all the time with Debo Samuel. I don't know. I don't understand. To me, the reason they like Colton Kivitz is because his cap number is like $2.9 million at right tackle. It's incredible for them.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Yeah. I mean, that's, I get it, but at the same time, man, I don't know. Burford has something to prove too. I mean, is he going to be on this team long term? Banks is another one. I like Banks a lot. And I think Ed Drake Jackson. There's a lot of guys that have something to prove. But that's
Danny
good,
Gray,
right?
Like, is it all over?
That's, I don't know if he's going to have time to prove it. I think he's just going to get cut. Is what I think.
When Willie Snead and Ray McCloud were like, when Willie Snead in particular was bemoaning whatever his tenure with the Niners was, he talking about Danny Gray having a roster spot last year?
Yes.
100%.
100%.
Yeah.
Yes.
But does he have one career? The idea that Danny Gray was making more money than Willie Snead when Willie Snead was objectively a better player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that would chap my high too for Willie Snead. I'd be chapped.
Be chapped. Nice.
Dave Barkley says, "What up, guys? How are we tonight?"
Fantastic, Dave. How are you?
Fantastic, Dave. How are you? I love Dave. When you are at a restaurant and the waiter comes over and says, "How are we tonight?" Am I the only person that feels like it's like a snarkiness that it might, like, I don't know how we are. Are we eating together tonight? Dave is always part of my party, but when the waiter comes over and says, "How are we tonight?" Like, I don't know. We haven't talked yet. I haven't met you. Maybe we're going to have a great night. We'll see. I don't know.
Yeah, why don't you ask me that after? Actually, I'll tell you how we are with the tip that I give you. How about that?
Thank you. Thank you. Brother Bob, member for 12 months, killing it. Dave Barclay, Jess, can't believe you didn't read my super.
He dropped a super like right as I had ended the show.
I hate when that happens.
Here's what you need to understand, Dave.
Yeah.
Dave needs to understand, and a lot of people do. You guys are on about a 10-second delay, 8 to 10 seconds, depending. So you think the show's still going, but we've ended. So
yeah, that has really gotten people a lot of times. There should be like a countdown, but what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Brother Bob says, "Iglet and Nails, big ups, big Dave, K Levy equals Achilles." We're going to talk about him in a minute.
Kyle has something to prove too, right? Gosh,
oh
man.
Oh my God. How did we just not gloss over
him?
He always escaped this conversation. Yeah, Kyle kind of has the most to prove because he's supposed to be the best coach, one of the best coaches, a future Hall of Famer. The top of his profession, but he hasn't proven it, and he's running out of excuses. Last year, I think everyone pretty much agreed he had the best team, and he was facing a Chiefs team that was kind of in transition, and he had the lead multiple times deep in the game and still didn't win. So, and it was like, why didn't you win? You could blame Ray McLeod, but at the end of the game, it seemed like it was you who were the issue. So if he can win it this year, then he's legendary.
Crazy how that changes, huh?
All of a sudden, no one really cares that he didn't win. It's like Michael Jordan, right? I'm not comparing Kyle Shanahan to Michael Jordan, but people don't remember that Michael Jordan didn't win a championship for a while in the NBA. It took him 6, 7, 8 years until he was 27 years old to get it done. And then he's a champion. End of story. It doesn't matter that he struggled against the Pistons in the 80s. Doesn't matter. And that's how it will be with Kyle if he wins this year or ever.
Speaking of NBA legends, what do people remember most about LeBron, though, is that he lost to the Mavericks in a series that they were clearly the better team. And Kyle's had that happen to him twice.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, Kyle and LeBron have a lot in common. Like, they're the best if you have like an hour to explain it. You know what I mean? Like, they're the best if you have a lot of context. Well, if you really know ball. But if you have to make that kind of an argument for a guy, he's not the best.
Yeah. Yeah, you just kind of know, right? When somebody's great, you kind of just know.
Well, with Jordan, it's like all you have to say is 6 championships in 8 years, bro. End of story.
Right, right, exactly.
That's the argument. Yeah. So, Kyle, you can sum up his career with 3 chips to the Super Bowl, 3 big leads, 3 losses. That's his legacy so far. I mean, it sums up the fact that he's gotten there 3 times. He's clearly a high-level coach, but when he gets there, I mean, he uses the term closers. You got to have closers on your team. Are you one? That's what you got to prove this year. You're great in freaking December and January.
You know, what's interesting is you never know when it's your last opportunity. And maybe last year wasn't, but maybe last year was. You know what I mean? It's not easy to get back to the Super Bowl. I always go back to the Dan Marino thing, where it's like Dan Marino made it in his second year and was the king of the league as far as passing went for many years. But he never got a chance to play in it again. You really, truly don't know when your last time has come. And that might have been it for Kyle. Now, maybe not. Hopefully not. He gets there again. Hopefully he cashes in, but what if he doesn't get there again? What if that was the last chance?
It certainly was a great chance. It might have been his best chance. And even with that team that was so good, it took a ricochet 50-yard pass off a dude's face for them to go to the Super Bowl. And they know that. The margin of error last season was a lot thinner. And that, I mean, even getting to that game was kind of improbable. They were losing to the Packers most of that game. And it took Jordan Love trying to be Superman with a minute left for the night. The Niners didn't even really beat the Packers. The Packers beat the Packers. And the Niners know that. So, and that was with a great team. I mean, a lot of things have to go your way. Luck is required.
For sure. You know, it's interesting because I think 49er fans have this preference, and I do it as well. I'm a fan. So when I say fans, I'm including myself, where you say, man, we were this close to winning a Super Bowl. Well, as close as you were to winning the Super Bowl, you were also that close to being bounced in the divisional round and to a major upset to the Green Bay Packers. Really, what I look at, everybody talks about the last drive with Love, and certainly, I don't know what, he just went YOLO on that last play, but it was pouring down rain. He probably felt like they needed a touchdown, so he was trying to get a big chunk play because their kicker had just missed a chip shot the drive before. I actually kind of understand what he was trying to do there. It was really the two drives prior. What happened on those drives is he had easy first down dump offs. And both of those situations, he thought that his check down receiver, which was easily there for a first down, nobody around him at all. These are easy passes. He thought the receivers were going to sit down in the zone, and they didn't. One of them resulted in an interception because it was tipped by the tight end. The other one resulted in an incomplete near interception.
Yeah.
So those were really the two plays. It was those drives prior. If him and the receiver are on the same page and he checks those down, the 49ers don't even have a chance to win that game. Yeah. And I mean, we're talking about checkdowns, which most of the time are the gimme plays. For some reason, him and his receiver were on different pages on both of those. And that a lot of that comes down to luck.
Matt McEwen, hello to everyone. Dave Barclay, no, the one you wouldn't read, he says.
Oh, yeah. No, there was a reason for that.
Grant, remember the moment Grant C. became wealthy? No. That never happened. Brother Bob says, that's why Kyle Levy, that's why he's Kyle Levy. Homers give excuses, though. Well, he might be John Madden. We'll talk about that in a minute. Matt McEwen says, let's talk about narratives we are sick of hearing. I'll go first. I'm tired of people saying our O-line isn't as bad as the fans think it is. If you really know ball, you know that it's not as bad as people say it is. Okay.
If you know ball, then what you would know is a lot of things. You know, Kyle Shanahan's the best coach. That's the best organization. They've won a Super Bowl every year. All those things are true if you know ball.
I feel like the best you can say about the offensive line is it's not as bad as people say, and it's good enough. Like, that's all you can say about it. That's the highest praise you could give it. It's not as bad as
people
say. Nobody's
saying it's elite. Nobody, not one person. Listen to the wording. People use words as their weapon, right? You've got to pay attention to the wording. Don't get frustrated with what's being said. Pay attention to what's actually being said. It's not as bad as people think. Okay, so it's bad. It's just not as bad as you think.
Degrees of bad, though. Okay. Crazy Rod 16 says, I'm afraid this season about Brock Purdy will regress because he have no competition to push him. Last season was Trey Lance and Sam Darnold. Kyle Shanahan called Sam Darnold the next Steve Young. Well, he's got, I don't know if he needs a backup to push him or the possibility of making like a $300 or $400 million contract. So that could be incentive.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about him to regress with everything. The whole offense is still intact. So why would he regress?
Yeah, unless he plateaus and the book on him improves and then the net is a regression. Who knows? Matt McEwen says, sorry, this is my therapy session. This is a great therapy session. Dave Barclay says, you posted a video moment Grant became wealthy. You're being too kind, Dave. The moment is when you gave me that super chat right there. Thank you very much.
It just happened, actually.
Okay, let's do the Brock Purdy stat now since we were talking about him.
Okay.
You found an interesting like split stat, passing when a run is expected and passing when a pass is expected. Can you explain this stat and how it pertains to Brock Purdy?
Yeah, I don't know. I find these crazy stats and I go down rabbit holes sometimes. And so just out of curiosity, I had found a stat where it was talking about what do teams do or what do quarterbacks look like when teams are expecting them to pass, which means the defense is expecting you to be the playmaker. Like, they're keying in on you and what you're about to do versus when teams are expecting a run, they're keying in on the running back. Now, as we know, the 49ers are one of the best running teams in the league. They pass the least amount in the league, which means these expected to pass opportunities were not a lot. They actually ranked second last in the NFL. So there wasn't a lot of these situations that Brock was in. But when the team is expecting, so when the defense is expecting a run, he's by far and away the best quarterback in the league. Completion percentage of 85%, which is significant. In fact, the gap between him and second place is bigger than the gap between second place and 10th place. So that's how far above and away he is better than the competition when it comes to completion percentage when teams are expecting the 49ers to run. However, when teams are expecting the 49ers to pass, his average depth of target drops all the way to 16th, and his completion percentage drops 25 points down to 60%, which is still actually pretty good because it puts him at 7th in the league. But his touchdown interception ratio is 12 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. So I don't think it's like they're damning numbers by any means, but what it does tell you is that when teams are keying in on the 49ers to pass, he comes back down to earth a little bit. But when teams are expecting the 49ers to run, I mean, he, which is a majority of his attempts, actually, that's where his bread is buttered. So it's not the end of the world. It's just something to keep an eye on. And for me, really what it is kind of validation to the point that, like, hey, I need to see more before I would be willing to give him $45, $50 million. That's something I've always said. I've been labeled a hater because of that. And I think this stat validates that for me.
Yeah, I mean, he's got the offensive player of the year behind him, getting 8-man boxes, getting all the attention. He's got Brandon Ayuk one-on-one. He's got defenses really keying and selling out to stop 23. He's in a great position. I mean, that's why when people say he's in the most advantageous position of any quarterback in the league, that's what they're talking about. This is it. When defenses have to sell out to stop the run, he'll kill you. But to me, that's not necessarily what the skill set you're looking for from a quarterback who's going to be making all that money. Because eventually, if he makes all that money, you're not going to have the offensive player of the year in the backfield. You won't. Like, he'll have to be that guy. And you're going to have to do what they did in the Super Bowl, which was go empty backfield and pass the hell out of the ball to win. Has Brock Purdy ever passed the ball 40 times in a game and won? No. They're going to have to do stuff like that eventually if he's going to be making all that money. And he hasn't shown that he can. The Niners haven't shown that they can function that way. That's a problem.
Well, and I also think that that's, it's not just a Brock Purdy stat, really. To me, that tells me it's a Kyle Shanahan stat as well.
Yeah.
A little bit, right? Because Kyle.
Too.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, this isn't just a Brock Purdy stat. It is also a Kyle Shanahan, and to your point, an offensive line stat. So it's just, to me, it's a philosophy thing. And when the 49ers, when Brock Purdy averages, it's either 6 or 8. I'd have to go back and look at it. This is something that I looked at the end of the season. But the league average was 34 pass attempts a game. And he was at either 26 or 28, which is well below the league average. Well below. We're not talking about the top of the league. We're talking about the median, the average of the league, or mean. That's where he's at. Six or eight attempts below that. Well, when you are expected to pass, and you will be expected to pass when it gets into the playoffs, we saw he passed a lot more, but the numbers weren't better. His yards per game were actually down, I believe. His completion percentage was way down. So that's because teams are able to key in on the passing game. So some of that is Brock, yes. Some of that is the offensive line. But some of that is schematically Kyle Shanahan as well. If you can't rely on this running game, what are you doing to put Brock in better positions to make his life easier? Because it's much harder to do it in those situations.
Absolutely. It just seems to me, though, like this is an important stat for the Niners to look at when they are deciding how much money to offer Brock Purdy or what to do at quarterback. because it seems to me like when you're paying that much for a quarterback, you're paying for a guy who can win certain types of games. The Niners can win in one way. They get the lead. They run the ball a lot. But what if in the future, when he's making all this money, they don't have the same type of running game, or they don't have the same type of defense, or one week they're going against a Hall of Fame quarterback and it's just going to be a high scoring game? Can he throw the ball 40, 45, 50 times and win? He hasn't shown it. Now, he hasn't shown he can't, but they haven't even put him in the position to show what he can do. Like, that's a whole different type of game. And that's, I think, what you're paying for. The ability to win those type of games, they come around, if not in the regular season, in the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like NBA basketball, right? Like, there's these teams that win a certain way. They get up and down the court really fast, and they get a bunch of fast break points. Those teams always struggle when they get to the playoffs because defense is locked down. It turns into a half-court game. That's mm-hmm. pretty much the way the NFL is. It's like, yeah, you can win with running mm-hmm. being a run-first team, but when we get to the playoffs, we're going to make you pass, and you better be able to win shootouts, and you better be able to win on the right arm of your quarterback. And if you can't, then good luck to you. So that's what the expectation is going to be of the 49ers going forward.
No question. Dave Barclay says, do you both honestly think Brock improves throws?
Yeah, I think so.
Like, will he improve this year? I think so.
He seems like the kind of guy who put in the work to make incremental improvements. I don't know how much more upside he has, but I think he'll get better.
I said this 2 months ago, and I stand by this. To me, it's not all about statistics. Like, the way that I look at it is eye test, and then what do statistics tell me to either support or make me like double check and figure out if my eye test is right. I have a thought about Brock Purdy. The stats I read off kind of back that a little bit. So they make me feel more confident in my opinion. However, stats are not everything. And what I can say is, if Brock Purdy's overall stats go down, that doesn't necessarily mean that he's regressed as a player. He could easily get better as a player, but his stats aren't as good. That's entirely possible. So what does the eye test tell you really is the most important thing?
Yeah. Dave Barclay says, I think Mordecai is better than Brock Purdy.
Oh, God.
I test
tells you.
Matt McEwen says, it's so Purdy is a system guy. I think that's what I was saying in sort of a nice way. Because when you're passing, when the defense is expecting a run, there's so much, the personnel, the system, the scheme that's helping you get open windows. But when the defense knows you're going to pass or is expecting it, I mean, you don't really have the advantage as an offense. That's why Kyle doesn't like to play that way. You don't have the advantage. But if you have a Hall of Fame quarterback, it doesn't matter. And I think that's what you're trying. It's what you're expecting to get if you're spending that much money on a quarterback, like a Hall of Fame guy, not a good quarterback, not Kirk Cousins.
It's funny because, first of all, it's not a bad thing to be a system quarterback early in your career. Like, that is not a bad thing. Like, Tom Brady was a system quarterback, and he had to grow into, like, being the guy. Not everybody comes out and is Patrick Mahomes, or, you know, Justin Herbert year one, what he did was incredible. Or Stroud, right? Where they just transcend it and make it look like, whoa, what is happening here? But Coach and I had a big back and forth on Kirk Cousins, because we were ranking our top 10 quarterbacks, and I had Cousins at 9 and Purdy at 10. And I said, listen, you know, when they were on the field together, it was pretty clear who the better quarterback was. But somebody brought up a really good point, and it might have been Matt. I'm not sure. So, but either way, what they said was, that's great. We saw Brock put up Kirk Cousins type numbers, right? We've seen Kirk Cousins put up similar numbers many, many years. The difference is can Brock put up those numbers when he's getting paid like Kirk Cousins? Because those are very different things. Because that's when the team around you isn't as good. So can that continue? I'm not saying he can't, but it is something that we are going to find out eventually. And when we do, I hope that we're not surprised in a bad way.
We saw Purdy and Cousins face each other face-to-face last year. Mm-hmm. Purdy didn't have Debo. Mm-hmm. Cousins didn't have Justin Jefferson.
Correct.
Cousins was way better.
It wasn't close.
It wasn't even close. And you couldn't say that Purdy was going against a better defense because he wasn't.
No.
So,
no.
Something to keep in mind. More evidence needed. Brother Bob says, wow, Jesse. Him now, you damn hater slash casual.
Oh, crown him now. Casual. Crown him now. Yeah, yeah. I got you.
David Sir says, member has been a member for 19 months. Generic name. Kyle is the Debo of coaches. Good at specific things, but objectively bad at what his title says he is.
Whew. Interesting.
The takedown. 62 Chad says, do they fire Kyle if he makes it again and lose? No, no, no. They love him. They love him. Patrick says, talk quarterback. I remember when Jay was a fan of Trey. Thank you, Patrick. Yeah. So was I. Rob Schneider says, long time no see. How has our offseason been so far?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that they've gotten worse. I don't know that they've gotten better either.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's bad offseason.
I want to say this real quick, too, because I want to address the thing about Trey. Yeah, obviously, I was a big fan of Trey. But, you know, one thing that for some reason, this just glosses everybody's mind. I was also the first person that talked about Brock Purdy by a wide margin, actually, a couple years prior to him being drafted. But somehow that slips everybody's mind. So do I know quarterbacks all of a sudden because I was on to Brock Purdy in 2020? Or I don't know quarterbacks because of Trey. I just am curious as to what the answer is there. Just something to ponder.
Okay, I got another question for you to ponder. What opponent matters most to beat this season for the Niners?
There's two of them. Grant, there's two of them, but dude, I think I know which one you're going to say. So I'll go with the other one just because I don't want to take this one from you, but it's the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions. First of all, that game's at home. Second of all, I think Detroit, if they haven't closed the gap all the way, they're right there. They're going to be the team that I believe the 49ers are going to be fighting with for that number one seed. So that game might be the deciding factor. And one thing that we talked about last year, Grant, was how this team had to get the number one overall seed so they can get that rest. They were an aging team as far as their star players go. Well, those players are now a year older. So getting that number one seed is going to be crucial, I believe, for them again, if they want a chance to go back to the Super Bowl, which to me makes me think they have to beat the Detroit Lions, especially because you get them at home. So I'm going to go with Detroit as the team that they have to beat this year.
Yeah. That's a good answer because they're the NFC team. I mean, the team in your conference should matter a little more, but I still feel like it's the Chiefs.
That was who I knew you were going to say.
Like,
yeah.
There's something about like the Chiefs that Kyle's never beaten them. The Niners have never beaten them. They've never beaten Mahomes. It sort of doesn't matter who the Chiefs have. As long as they have Mahomes, Kelsey, and Chris Jones, they got the Niners number. And if they lose again to the Chiefs, it would be really deflating. I think if they could beat the Chiefs in the regular season, it would really give them the confidence that maybe this is their year.
Yeah, and the Chiefs was actually the team I was going to say, but then it was like, well, there's just no guarantee. Even if you make it to the Super Bowl, that you're facing the Chiefs, right? That's what made it
also
go down.
You can beat
the
Chiefs in the regular season, and that doesn't necessarily mean anything because they kind of just flip the switch. Like the Eagles beat the Chiefs in the regular season last year and really thought highly of themselves, celebrated, and that was the end of their season.
Yeah, I think Buffalo might have beat them in the regular season too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, yeah. So maybe not Kansas City. That, you know, was another one going to Green Bay. If that's in December, what if it's raining? Oh my God, that could be a tough one.
That's, you know, the rain thing with Brock Purdy, that perplexes me a little bit because everybody says, oh, it's his hand size. No, it's not. He has the same size hands as Patrick Mahomes. So it's not the hand size. What is it, a mental? Is it 100% a mental thing? I don't know. That one's weird to me though, but it's not a physical limitation thing. It's
a thing though.
It is. No, it's definitely a thing. But it's not as bad as you think, Grant. No, I was kidding.
How was that for you? Not as bad as you thought. Great.
Great. So wonderful. You're saying it was great then.
Let's do it again. Okay. Yeah, they also have to go to Buffalo and play Buffalo. That's another one. The Niners haven't really faced this Buffalo team. They faced them in 2020, got brakes beaten off them, but it was, I mean, they had Nick Mullins starting. But, man, they had a good defense that year, and they could not stop Josh Allen. They had a tough time containing Lamar Jackson. Well, here's a bigger Lamar Jackson. That was going to be a tough game for them.
Especially if it's in December. Like this is why the schedule is so intriguing every single year, because we're going to give our record prediction for the team. But it easily could change by a game or two just based off of where these games are placed. Like, if you think that Buffalo is going to beat them, for example, that changes if it's the second game of the season in September. But if it's in December, you're like, oh, there goes their chances of winning. It goes way down. So, yeah, I mean, where games are placed absolutely matters.
Any other ones? No,
this season's going to be great. Well, I mean, I think the Rams
right now. Let's predict the Rams.
The Rams, real quick, I think are important games to win as well, because I think they might be fighting for the division with the Rams. I do.
Okay, I agree with that. The whole division is going to be pretty tough. Let's quickly get some get some sleeper picks in.
Do it
real quick. Okay. So we got a game tonight, and it is Cleveland-Boston. Jason Tatum, 26 and a half points, more or less. He's on a streak.
26 and a half, more or less.
Last game, he had 18. Game before that, 16.
I'm going to go more.
He's due.
Game one. Okay. Oh, wait, hold on. Is that, go back real quick. 71% of people are betting more. Is that what that says?
Is that what it said?
Before, like when you were in there, it showed like a little graph, and it showed like 71% versus 29% right there.
Oh, community there it is. Pick. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, this is crucial. Let's go less. I feel like if you're going more and that's what the consensus says, then you're probably not on the right side.
I feel better about that. What about Donovan Mitchell? 29 and a half points.
I mean, they kind of 95.6%. Oh, God, less than or less. Yeah.
Okay. Dallas OKC. Shai Gilgeous. 29 and a half. Hold on. Let's see what they say.
He went crazy.
He hasn't hit it, though, in three games.
29 and a half is a lot.
So should we just be like the biggest haters?
Let's just go with the community pick against the community picks. Less.
Yeah, absolutely. Less. And then last one, Kyrie. 23 and a half.
I like points. That's more. But I feel like everybody's going to be way Luka. On the more.
Let's do Luka. 30 and a half. Less.
Less.
Less. You're bummed. 30 points is a lot, man.
You're okay.
Just fading three guys. Tatum, Mitchell, Shai Gilgeous, Doncic on the points. $10. Oh yeah.
I've never noticed that before. I actually like that right there. That to me is huge that they display that, because I basically feel like they're giving you the inside info. Like, listen, if most people are going this way, that's usually how people lose money.
That's one of my favorite things about the Sleeper app is all the information they give you. And you would think that with all that information, you would
do better. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like it's like paralysis by analysis. It's like, oh, it's definitely going to be this. And then it isn't.
No.
Okay. If you want to play, use promo code CONE, C-O-H-N, on the Sleeper app. Get the deposit match up to $500. Let's predict the Niners record. They play 17 games. How many games are they going to win in the regular season? I can't wait. This is fun.
I'm going to give them the same exact record prediction I gave last year.
No!
Yeah.
Let's go game by game. Opponent by opponent, real quick. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay. Let's do it. You want to start with the home games? All right.
Yeah.
Ready? Here's the home games. Arizona Cardinals, win.
Win.
All right. Rams,
Win.
Seahawks. Win.
Win.
Bears. Win.
Win.
Lions. This one's tough. I'm going to go win. I'm going to go win.
Okay, let's give it to him.
These are some tough opponents coming up. Jets.
Mm-hmm. Win.
I'm going to go win. Okay. Patriots.
Win.
Chiefs. Loss.
I think they're going to lose to the Chiefs. Although, yeah, maybe that's the Niners Super Bowl. But I'm gonna pick the Chiefs. Maybe. Yeah.
Okay. And Cowboys. Win.
Maybe if Trey Lance is starting, the Cowboys can win that one. With Dak Prescott, no, sir.
They got zero chance, right?
He's all the right, opposite so of 7-1. Like, he just knows he can't beat the 49ers. All right. 7-1 at home.
Yep, 7-1. All right. Away, Cardinals. I'm gonna go win.
Yeah.
Rams. I'm gonna go loss.
Fine.
Seahawks. This one's a coin toss for me, man.
Gino.
I'm going to go win. Yeah.
Win.
Okay. Gino. Packers.
It's the Gino rule.
Packers, I'll go loss.
Okay. Yeah. All right. On the road.
Vikings, which might be in London. I'll go win.
Definite win. Sam Darnold.
Yeah. Yeah.
Better be JJ McCarthy, but even JJ McCarthy, like, although, I'm not a big fan. I don't know.
No. Dolphins.
Win. That team is soft. Tua's not good.
I agree. Listen,
I saw him poop his pants on the field. He pooped his pants.
They're better than the Dolphins. Purdy's way better than Tua, by the way. I don't think a lot of Tua at all.
They're just soft.
It's just going from California to Miami that's a trek, man. That's long a trek. One. So
it's so far.
That's the only thing that you're gives right. me pause. You know what? Okay, here's the deal. I don't know which one it's going to be, but between Miami and the Dolphins, Miami and the Seahawks, because I think they're both close. I'll give them a loss in one of them. So I don't know which one, but I'm giving them an extra loss.
Fair enough. Miami is also tough. Like the earlier in the season, it can be really hot and humid. That can be tough.
Yep.
You can get cramps. Yeah. Dehydrated.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Buffalo Bills. I'll go loss.
Yeah, I want to say loss, but do they have a wide receiver on their team?
No, but that might be the best thing for him because now he's not going to force feed Diggs. They got two tight ends. I'll tell you that.
Okay. All right. And yeah, I mean,
and then Tampa Bay.
Yeah, they're kind of doing what the Chiefs did, right? Like tight ends and one rookie wide receiver. So yeah, I think this might be a loss. Tampa Bay win.
Tampa Bay win as well. Okay. So I've got them at 12-5.
12-5.
You've got them at 13-4.
13-4. Now, maybe I won't when I see the way it all breaks down. But to me, like,
yeah,
as long as they're healthy and they have Brock Purdy, like, I expect them to win 12, 13 games, win the division, and go to the playoffs. Like, that's not really the question with them. They're great in the regular season. They put up all the numbers, all the stats. They get all the accolades and everything. But what are they going to do when the pressure's really, really, really on? So, yeah, 13-4, 14-3, 15-2. That's something this team could do. They absolutely could do it. But no one really freaking cares unless you win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the way that I see it, though, too, is I look at that schedule, and if it's add Buffalo and either Miami or Seattle is a loss. But let's say those games are in October, which is really the sweet spot because it's not too hot in Miami. It's not too cold in Buffalo. If they're like a road trip back to back and they're in October, it's like, well, I can see them winning both those games. Now, all of a sudden, my record is, 14-3. So.
Yeah. All right,
there's also a game that they're going to lose that we're just like, we're not seeing at all. That happens every single year. Every year.
Yeah. But like last year, I picked the Niners to go 10-7. Like I'm done kind of being skeptical of them in the regular season. I think they've proven themselves. that they have a winning formula in the regular season, especially with this quarterback. I don't expect Brock Purdy to all of a sudden pull a Jimmy and go 10-7. I don't see it. But still, that doesn't mean they can get over the final hurdle.
Adam at 12-5 last year. And that's what they finished. So I don't know. We'll see.
They were 12-5 last year, weren't they?
They were.
Because of Sam Darnold.
That was the one, actually.
Yeah. I don't understand how he got a job. He was terrible in that game. Carson Wentz was legitimately better than him in that game. Is Carson Wentz out of the league?
No, Carson Wentz signed. Is he the Chiefs' backup quarterback? I might.
Oh, yes, he is. Watch them revive his career.
Watch Patrick Mahomes not play in that game. Then we're like, yeah, we're gonna beat the Chiefs, and then they still beat us with Carson Wentz.
You know who Wentz is gonna be? He's gonna win a Super Bowl one day with the Chiefs. Mahomes gonna get hurt. Wentz is gonna come in, win a Super Bowl. He's gonna be the next Nick Foles. It's all gonna come full circle. Full circle.
That'd be kind of crazy, huh?
It'd be kind of crazy. I think he's the most underrated quarterback in the league. People have left him for dead. He's like a 500 quarterback, and you can have him for free. What a great backup quarterback to have. Is he that? Does he have halitosis? Is he just obnoxious? Is he a close talker? Is he a loud talker?
Something, man. I would take him as a backup in a heartbeat, man. I would love to have Carson Wentz, the backup quarterback here. Yes.
I don't know. Okay. Really interesting stat. Courtesy of Josh Dubow, Associated Press, great reporter. He found that of all the coaches in one stint with the team, only coaches since the Super Bowl was invented, the Super Bowl era, who have won their first Super Bowl in year 8 or later are John Madden, who did it in year 8 with the Raiders, and Bill Cowher, who did it in year 14. With the Steelers. That's important to the Niners because Kyle Shanahan is now in year 8. So if he doesn't win the Super Bowl this year, then it'll be really the only other person who took longer than him to win one is one guy, Bill Cowher. This seems like a big year for him.
I mean, that's not a stat that favors Kyle Shanahan at all. It is crazy to think because I still think that a lot of people perceive Kyle Shanahan to be like the young, hip coach of the NFL. He's still newer in his position. It's like, no, he's not. He's basically at the league average as far as his age goes in head coaching terms. And he's in year 8. I mean, there's a real possibility that they get to year 10 and they haven't won a Super Bowl still. And I think decisions have to be made at year 10, right? So, this is a huge year. Unfortunately for Kyle, I mean, it's much easier to bet the field than it is one team. So, no, I don't think that he gets it done in year 8, which means he would have to do something that only one coach has done, and that is go past their first 8 years in order to win a Super Bowl with the 49ers, which I don't know, man. It's not easy to do. He did a hell of a job building this team and getting him in contention and staying in contention. But he's in a bit of, after this season, in some flux, and they're going to have to kind of retool on the fly / rebuild. Doing that a second time is not easy to do. It's not easy to do. So I'm curious to see what, I mean, he's not going anywhere. He's not getting fired. I don't know that he makes it to year 14 if he doesn't win a Super Bowl, but he's certainly going to make it to year 10. It's going to be tough for Kyle, man, to win a Super Bowl with the 49ers. It is, because last year, I think, was his best chance. I think he has a really good chance this year, but I don't like his chances near as much as I did last year.
Well, I think he's kind of at the end of his rope in the sense that, like, he can't pivot to another quarterback. He's got to make it work with Brock.
Yes.
He has to make it work with Brock. In the past, he could always make excuses like, well, yeah, it's taken him some time, but it's Jimmy's fault, or, you know, we'll just wait till he gets his guy. He has his guy. And if they give him the money, they'll be more committed to Brock than Kyle. Right now, they're not, but in a couple of years, they will be. And if they still can't get it done, then they're not going to get rid of Brock. They could look at Kyle and say, well, you know, we love your running scheme and your offensive your offensive scheme in general was cutting edge a few years ago. It's just not really cutting edge when it comes to drop back passing. We're really invested in wide receivers and quarterbacks. Maybe someone else can maximize Brock Purdy. I mean, those things could happen. Right now, Kyle is maximizing Brock Purdy, but things could change in a couple of years once the money's different.
What was the other stat? I don't think you had it as a topic. If you do, you can stop me. But the other one that showed the playoff wins since 2010. So every team that has, I think, at least six playoff wins since 2010 has a Super Bowl ring, except for the 49ers. Mm-hmm. So it was like the Denver Broncos, the Rams, the Chiefs, the Patriots, and a few other teams. And the only team that didn't was, the Eagles, I think, were in there, was the 49ers. They're the only one. So,
yeah.
That's what a run. I don't know, man. That's crazy.
From Jim Harbaugh to get Jim Harbaugh to sort of like fall into like a mini little, not dynasty, but a run of dominance, to come up empty handed, to scapegoat him and jettison him out of town prematurely, suffer the shame for years, and then rebound with another coach who's nearly as good, get right back in the same freaking position and come up short twice more. That's incredible. Only the Niners. What a team to cover.
Would you?
The fan in you is pretty frustrated, but the content creator in you is like, you know what? That was a pretty good story arc.
No, it is a good story arc. The fan in me is very frustrated. Let me ask you this question, because this team has really added a lot of good players: Azeez Al-Shaair, Danielle Hunter, Stephon Diggs, to an ascending quarterback who was a rookie himself last year, great coach in D'Amico Ryans. If I told you you could only bet on one of these teams to win a Super Bowl, and they were guaranteed to win, you don't know which one, would you put your money on the Texans or the 49ers to get it done this year?
The Texans. You know why? Because I wouldn't put my money on Kyle Shanahan to win a Super Bowl. Mm. I wouldn't. Would you? Money, actual money. You trust him? If he knew the rules, that'd be different.
That's pretty depressing. You're right. But that's pretty depressing.
No, I don't trust him with my money. Matt McEwen says, I think they lose to a healthy Jets team.
They could. I don't believe in that. I did my power rankings the other day, and I didn't have Jets in my top 10. So I don't know. They got to prove something to me. They're still the Jets.
Yeah. Yeah. Are they going to have good luck? Brother Bob says, we smash in Buffalo unless snow. Bet, Jesse.
I'll be there if it's not going to be in cold weather. So I hope it's in earlier in the year, which bodes well, better for the 49ers, and I'll actually want to go. So
Dave says, is there another coach to coach 8 years with no ring? Yeah, no, yeah, a lot of guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably Marv Levy. Andy Reid did it for a long time.
Who was Buddy for Cincinnati?
Marv Lewis. Yeah, he coached for 800 years without a ring.
It was like 18 years or something crazy. Yeah, it was a long time.
Today, I mean, in the league now.
Ooh. What was his other question? Sorry, I didn't.
Any other coach? Another coach to coach 8 years.
In the league now.
What about McDermott? How long has he been a coach?
Not that long, I don't think.
Has he not? Did he not? Was he 2018?
I think
he's one year behind Kyle.
When Allen came in.
He should be fired though. Enough of McDermott.
Yeah, I think he's going to get fired this year. Is what I think's going to happen. So,
yeah. Brother Bob says homers lose their poop if Kyle Levy leaves. Even without a Super Bowl.
I don't know. I always say this. For me, it's like, listen, I it's contradictory because I don't believe in Kyle in those moments because he's given us reason to not believe. But the flip side is you have to find, you can't just push him out the door if you don't have at least a good option. A really good option. And I don't know many good options that are available. Now, Ben Johnson would have been intriguing. There are guys that have been intriguing. But there's also, Kyle's in this spot where it's like, there's not a lot of guys better than him. And unlike a quarterback that a lot of people will say that. It's like, well, who are you going to find better? Well, it's like, I don't care. They're not getting making $50 million. Give me anybody making $2 million and we'll figure it out. Coaches don't count against salary cap. So I genuinely have to find somebody at least that I think is as good before I just kick them out. But when you say
like D'Amico's as good, Salah's as good, if not better, because Kyle, you like Kyle's offense, but as a head coach, is he as good of a leader as D'Amico or Robert Saleh? Like, I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure. And then as an offensive guy, like in the second half of the biggest games of the season, it seems like he gets away from what his calling card is and starts doing erratic stuff. And it's like, where was the offense that was so great? Where's the motions and the shift and the play action? It's like, why are you empty? What are you doing? I don't, he's erratic. I can't trust him.
He is erratic. I do like Salah's leadership ability, but man, he's about to get fired if he doesn't figure it out this year too. So,
well, he would have been good if he got CJ Stroud and said, unfortunately, he got Zach Wilson.
Yeah, that's true.
That was bad. Harold McAllister, 12-5 losses, 12-5 losses, Cards, Bills, Chiefs, Rams, Lions. Cards, Bills, Chiefs, Rams, Lions. Yeah. Those are the best teams on their, Matt not the Packers though, huh? Matt McEwen says most.
He had the cards. That's interesting.
Cards. Yeah. It's an interesting team. Kyler's tough to contain. They had a tough time against Lamar Jackson, and Marvin Harrison Jr. could be incredible.
Yeah.
Matt McEwen says most owners in this league will get rid of a coach in 5 years if they are not successful. But not Jed. Nope. He is happy. Well, remember, Jed was the guy who fired 3 coaches in 3 years. So maybe his parents said no more firing coaches, Jed. Make it work. You never know.
Yeah.
Are they still paying Tom Sula?
No. No, there's no way.
Probably not.
I hope not.
All right. It's 7 o'clock on the West Coast, 10 o'clock on the East Coast. It might actually be dark there. It's no longer dark on the West Coast, but it's like the name. No, it is dark. So 49ers before dark.
It's dark over here.
On tomorrow?
I've got a show with Marco tomorrow night, but
nice.
I want to throw this out there. We're pretty blessed because the schedule release is next week, I think an hour before we go. So we're going to get the full schedule and we're going to be able to go game by game and actually give a really, really in-depth prediction as to why we think some of these wins or losses are going to happen. So I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. I like when that happens.
And spoiler, I will be predicting 7-10 next week.
Yeah, I was going to say, you were 13-14-3. That's pretty optimistic, man. That's pretty optimistic.
Yeah, I'm going to be reversing course in just a few days. That's what I like to do. Jesse, good stuff today. Thank you very much, everyone, for watching. See you tomorrow.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.